We're coming out of a series in which we thought about how God wants to use us as messengers. We looked at some rather unusual messengers, which gives us hope for ourselves. We looked at Jonah, who had to overcome the hatred that was in his heart. We looked at Esther, who found herself in a really unusual and dangerous setting and was able to intercede for her people. And we looked at Moses, who had a million excuses, right? Sometimes like us. Like, isn't there somebody else that you could use? Why me, you know? Why me? But the truth of the matter is, we looked at all those reluctant messengers and come to understand that God wants to use us. So what exactly is the message we are called to live out and to explain to others? The message is that we can have peace in our lives. And I think that's very attractive to a lot of people, right? That we can have peace with God, that we can have peace with ourselves, and that we can have peace with others. And so today we start a series on how to have peace. It's all in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and we're starting with the whole idea of having peace with God. This idea was born out of Pastor Keith Clark, our Springville campus pastor, was really intrigued by that verse in Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so we were taking a look at that, and how is it we can have peace with other people as far as it depends on us? And as we started to look at it, we realized that it's hard to live at peace with others if you're not at peace with yourself. And then it's maybe impossible if you're not at peace with God. So we have a whole four messages on how to experience peace. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. Sometimes when we think about what does it mean to really be at peace, we think like it's the absence of turmoil, right? That if circumstances would just settle down, then I could have peace. If I could not be in conflict with others, I could have peace. If I could just stop worrying about things in my life, I could have peace. But in the Bible, we discover that peace is not just the absence of turmoil, not just waiting for the circumstances in our lives to calm down. Peace is much more positive, and it's accessible to all of us. The Hebrew word translated peace is the word shalom. That's the word that Jesus would have used. In fact, in the days of Jesus, if any of you have watched The Chosen, that's how they greet each other, shalom, shalom. And it's wishing each other peace, or the sense that things in our lives are the way they ought to be. Right? That we are living the life that God intended for us. Not that all the circumstances are just as we would wish at all, but that in spite of the circumstances, there's a wholeness to our life that is born out of having a relationship with God. And that peace, that shalom, comes only one way. It comes through Jesus Christ, the peacemaker. He came to give us peace. He lived among us, died for us, and rose again so that we could experience peace. And being at peace with God is where it's kind of the foundation of having a life that is full of God's peace, His wholeness, God's shalom. So having peace with God. So Deb already read for us, but if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 5, we didn't intend to do this whole series in Romans, but as we thought about it, Pastor Keith and I sat down, we thought, you know, we can just stay right here in Romans. So today we are in Romans chapter 5. Some of you maybe have read the first five chapters in Romans in preparation for today. If you look on your outline, you'll see that the readings for this coming week, Monday through Friday, are going to set us up for next Sunday's sermon. in Romans 8:1. So we find ourselves in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have just been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So there's a legal term in that first verse. We have been justified. We have been justified. Because I think we've talked about this before. We are all trapped in our sin apart from Christ. That there's nothing that we can do, try as we might, to overcome the sin in our lives. And so were we to stand on our own before God, we would be guilty. And I think most of us would kind of agree with that verdict. Enter Jesus. Enter Jesus, who did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He died as our substitute. He took our punishments upon himself, which is what we remember today in the Lord's Supper. And he did that so that we, by putting our faith, our trust in Jesus, could be justified. When God looks at us, he sees that we are covered by what Jesus did on the cross. It's just as if we had never sinned. God looks at us as forgiven. We experience his grace. We're justified through faith. And as a result, we have peace with God. What do we do with all that shame, with all that sin, with all that guilt, with all that condemnation, with all that sin stuff? Jesus has taken care of it. It no longer is the most powerful force in our lives. And it's not only for today, it is for the future. Don't you love that? We boast in the hope of the glory of God. When we think about our future, when we think about the days to come, we know that God's grace will cover us through death into life in God's presence. What an inheritance we have. Now, the timing of this whole thing is so important. I want to skip down in Romans 5 to verse 6. Paul says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not the culmination of a self-improvement plan. Get my life all cleaned up and then give it to God. And he says, finally, come on. I've been waiting for you forever. It's that that's why I love the honesty of our faith. We don't have to pretend to have it all together. We don't have to. We can be honest with God about who we are, about our need to be forgiven. And if we come honestly to Jesus, then we find in him what we could never do for ourselves. We want to think for a few minutes about what it means to be powerless. While we were still powerless, Paul writes, Christ died for the ungodly. I wonder if you can think of a time in your life when you felt powerless. Maybe it's today. Maybe there's a circumstance over which you had no influence or power. Maybe some experience in your own life where you just felt powerless. For me, some of you remember that just when I started to serve here as the pastor at Bayview Chapel a little over 4 years ago, I had a serious illness, found myself in the hospital with sepsis, a blood infection, and my own immune system had been compromised by an antibiotic that I took. And so I was a really sick guy, and they had done one surgery on a wound that I had, but I needed to go back in, so I had this ridiculous high fever, and they had done the ice thing to bring my fever down, and I had to go back into surgery, emergency surgery, and this 18-year-old kid wheeled me away, and my wife and my daughter were like, I don't think we're ever going to see this guy again. And I was like, I was fine. And they're like, you weren't fine. But the truth of the matter is I was really sick, and I was powerless, right? I wasn't like, well, I think this is what you need to do. I was just like, right? And the anesthesiologist talked to me. I'm like, sounds good. And I was totally out of it, right, when they were operating, and happy to report that I recovered. Okay, you guys, come on, you guys. You were waiting for the end of that story, right? Oh, boy. But really, my life was in God's hands, right? And isn't that true for all of us? Life is so fragile. Our lives are in God's hands, and that's where we want them to be. But I was powerless, and that's a picture for all of us of what we're like in our relationship with God. We don't have to impress Him, right? We're sunk. We are powerless. And God, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We want to give you a picture of this. It's a beautiful picture. It's from Mark chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 3 this great story. If some of you have watched The Chosen, there's a great portrayal of this. Some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, unexpected, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Hold on. Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." How did he demonstrate that? "So he said to the man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' And he got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, 'We've never seen anything like this.'" They might question what Jesus said, but then they couldn't question what Jesus did, something that they've never seen before. He taught, he spoke with authority. And, you know, I'm sure that everybody thought that if Jesus did anything, as this man was lowered, imagine his feeling of helplessness. Like, what if they dropped him? Seriously, right? He couldn't catch himself, but I mean, imagine what he was thinking as he was being lowered through this roof in front of Jesus. I'm wondering, will he be able to do anything to help me? And if he does anything, everybody's expecting Jesus to say, you know, be healed or something like that. And then he does this really interesting thing. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Where did that come from? But I think in the context of our study of Romans 5, what was the presenting need to be healed physically? What was the deeper need? To be forgiven, to be restored in your relationship with God. That's the root of all these sin problems. And Jesus goes right to the root, and only Jesus can do it, right? But he had the authority given to him by God the Father, not just to heal, but to forgive sins. "Son, your sins are forgiven." And even if he hadn't done anything else, that would have been life-changing. He went to the root. Only Jesus can do that. But then to demonstrate that he had authority to forgive sins, to demonstrate this power of God in him, then he said, take up your mat and walk home. And wouldn't you have loved to have been there to just see what would have been like for that man to all of a sudden feel the strength and sensation in his legs, and what would it have been like for his friends? Holy cow. That's a Bible term. Holy cow. Who is this guy? He's the one that can bring us peace because we are all powerless. And Jesus goes to the root. He may or may not deal with the presenting problems, the things that are taking our peace away from us, but then he goes deeper. At the most foundational basis of our lives. And he says to you and he says to me, son, daughter, you are forgiven. That estranged relationship with a father has been changed. You've been rescued. You've been redeemed. You were powerless, but now things between you and God are right. You've been justified through faith in Christ. And if you want to have peace in your lives, here is where it begins. Here is where it begins. You can have peace with God through faith in Jesus. Some of you are already there. For some of you, this may be new and kind of weird. But I would say read the Gospels. Find out who Jesus is. Is he worthy of your trust, worthy of your faith? Because you can have peace with God. And for some of you, maybe you have peace with God, but life circumstances have been a bit overwhelming lately, and you need to revisit this at the core of your being. You can have peace with God in spite of the circumstances. You can have peace with God. Isn't that what communion is about? That Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves? That he restores our relationship with God so we can enter into God's wholeness, the life that he intended for us. Shalom, shalom, people of God. Experience the peace of God. And if you walked in without it, I hope you walk out with it. Right? Not because the circumstances are perfect, but because of Jesus Christ. You can have peace with the Father. So I want to give us a chance, as we always do, to respond to the Word of God. And I would invite you to revisit this whole idea of having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you come and receive the elements in just a moment, I invite you to know in your heart and maybe even just say to yourself, Jesus, you are my peace. I find peace with the Father through you. Let's respond to what we've heard. Our Father, we are honest enough to say that sometimes our circumstances are hard. Sometimes our hearts are broken. Sometimes our plans haven't turned out as we hoped they would. Sometimes relationships are difficult. Sometimes we worry about things. And yet, at the heart of it all, we bring our honest selves to you. Not pretending that we have it all figured out, that we've won all of our battles, but we come powerless, in need of your grace. We're so grateful that in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can find peace with you. To know that things between us are good, that you love us deeply, that through Christ you forgive us, that through your Holy Spirit you heal and restore us. And I pray that today as we celebrate your supper, that our focus would be on you, our Lord Jesus. That through your death you bought our forgiveness and made a way for us to be reconciled. You are our peace. And we're so grateful that you did. And today, we enter into that life. May we know your wholeness and grace in these moments of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.